Can I tell y'all one joke? All right, I got two. No, I'm practicing. There's a camp we do every year in Rockford, Illinois, at Berean Baptist Church. And during lunch or supper or breakfast, the kids will say some kind of jingle or rhyme or something. And then they'll ask one of the preachers to tell a joke. And I used to tell jokes all night long. And I can't think of one joke. You know, and so I thought, this year I'm going to be ready. And so if I hear a good joke, I say, yes. And I have to just keep saying it and keep saying it. So I'm going to keep saying it tonight. Amen. Now, one of them you won't get, half of you won't get. And I think it's the funniest thing, but I'm warped. John, you'll get this joke. Amen. Did you hear about the skeleton that went into McDonald's and he ordered a large Coke and a mop? It's hilarious. I just see him drinking. You know, well, I'll get to that in a minute. Yeah, I got a mop here. Anyway, I love that joke, Brother Rick. Amen. No, and this is a redneck joke, but I got rednecks in Toledo. Amen. But this guy's driving down the road, and there's a pig on the side of the road. So he picks it up, puts it in his truck, and later on he sees a policeman, and he pulls over, and he said, hey, back here I found a pig, and I don't know what to do with it. And the policeman said, I don't know, but take it to the zoo. So he said, all right. So 2 weeks later, this policeman sees this guy driving down the road in his pickup, and his pig is in the truck with him. So he pulls him over, and he said, hey, you're not speeding or anything. He said, I'm just kind of curious. And 2 weeks ago, I saw you with this pig. I thought you were going to take it to the zoo. He said, oh, I did. He said, we had so much fun there. We're going to Six Flags today. Amen. Amen. Well, this guy got stirred up anyway. I like hearing people laugh, I tell you. Amen. Amen. All right. Did I say where to turn? Second Chronicles. Did I say what chapter? Too bad. Chapter 20. Second Chronicles, chapter 20. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now, Jehoshaphat is a good king. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And here's three great armies coming against him. Verse 2, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, there be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. You ever hear the news? You ever hear the bad news? You fear. I mean, that's you fear. He feared, but he set himself to seek the Lord. That's a good thing. And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. You ever think when you read your Bible? It's a good thing, amen, to do. It says all Judah, the whole nation, they've gathered. They've left their homes. They've gathered to Jerusalem, to the temple, to ask help of the Lord. God did say, if you come to this place and seek my face and humble yourselves and pray, I'll hear from heaven. Amen. That's what they were looking for here. And so Judah gathered themselves, verse 4. Verse 5, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as a sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry to thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And again, think about it. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Here, Jehoshaphat has prayed this prayer. There could have been hundreds of thousands of people gathered around this place. And he prays this prayer. And then mama, daddy, kids, just looking to the Lord. We don't have any might against this. We have no answer to this. There's nothing we can do about this. It's going to have to be you. And they got their eyes on the Lord. I want to bring your attention to that last verse we read, next to last verse. And I got to find it because I don't have my preaching Bible. Verse 12 says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Look at this next phrase. Neither know we what to do. You ever get there? I don't know what to do. Tonight, with the Lord's help, I want to preach what to do when you don't know what to do. You think I might help somebody? Amen. What to do when you don't know what to do? There are some things to do when you don't know what to do. So first of all, I want to say this, and you probably can discern it as you read through here. Verse 3 says, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And in verse 12, where it says, we have no power, our eyes are upon thee. At the end of that verse, our eyes are upon thee. So number one, and this is going to seem so simple, but let me say this. When all hell breaks loose, you're not going to remember it. Number one, get your eyes on him. I don't care what kind of problem it is. There's always somebody we go to. If it's a financial need, we go to our rich uncle, you know, whatever. Whatever need it is, we think of somebody and we start trying to figure things out. If you're saved, I highly recommend getting your eyes on him first. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. Get your eyes on him. I'm not going to get you to turn there, but in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah had a burden to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And he was cupbearer for the king. The king discerned, asked him what's going on. He told him. And the king gave him permission, gave him license, gave him materials, gave other people permission to leave there, Babylon, go back to Jerusalem and rebuild those walls. I mean, everything looked like it was going really good. Until they got there. And they ran into opposition. Sanballat and Tobiah were there, Geshem, and threatened them. They all kinds of things they threatened they were going to do to them. And so finally, the rulers of Judah came to Nehemiah and they said, this is what they're saying. I mean, and they were fearful. And Nehemiah, now this is King Buddy version. I'm paraphrasing this, amen. But Nehemiah said, hey, listen, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Oh, yeah, him. Yeah. Come on now. You've never run into a problem, and then maybe 3 days later, he's like, and he prayed about it. Amen. That might be a good thing. Get your... Some of y'all not listening yet. I'm not just preaching. I'm trying to help you. Some of you got things going on right now, and you hadn't heard the first point yet. Because in your mind, when I brought up problems, you stopped listening to the message. And you're thinking about those problems. Just for like a 20-minute period, let's forget about them and go to plan A.
Amen.
Get your eyes on him. Just think about him. Do you think he might have an answer to your problem?
Yes, he will.
Yeah. Get your eyes on Him. This whole nation got their eyes on the Lord. And it seemed to help. Amen. Get your eyes on Him. Number two, I want you to look at His prayer. Verse 6. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Now, y'all understand that this is a rhetorical question. Number one, God knew that God was God in heaven. Number two, I'm thinking Jehoshaphat knew God was God in heaven. But he's praying a public prayer, and he's trying to encourage these people and remind these people that that's their God there that he's talking to. You're God over all the heathen. I mean, all these things he prays. He says, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? God knew he ruled over all the kingdoms of the heathen. Jehoshaphat knew God ruled over all the kings of the heathen. He wanted the people to know and believe that he rules over all the kingdom of the heathen. Amen. And in thine hand, is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, some of your gods are not like that, but mine is. I like the way that verse progresses. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger till I can't reach any higher. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, I have prayed some whoppers. Amen. I prayed some whoppers. We used to have pastor's prayer line in the church I used to belong to, and you call in the morning, and pastor would be on there, and he said, here's a list of things you ought to pray for, and this, that, and the other. And sometimes it'd be something like this. Pray for brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. They're in ICU. We don't know if they're going to make it through the night. So I pick up the phone at 6 o'clock in the morning. Here's somebody. They've been in ICU, and they don't know if they're going to make it through the night, And how am I supposed to pray? Excuse me, I'm carnal, but I think about that stuff. Now, how am I supposed to pray? What if they died? Hey, man, I'm going to feel dumb praying for a dead person. So, I don't know if God called me dummy this time or not, but God did. He said, I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. And I actually thought this. Let's say they did die 3 in the morning. I get up at 6, pastor's prayer line, so-and-so sick, we don't know if we're going to make it through the night, and I pray an effectual, fervent prayer. Now, some of y'all look at me like calves looking at a new gate right now. He's able to do above what I think, and I thought this. I pray that prayer, and God says, okay. Well, see, he's got a problem. God's never run into a problem. He can back the whole universe back 3 hours. Oh, but NASA, you don't think he can fake NASA out? Who would know? Who knows how many times he's had to do that? And it's no biggie for him. He didn't even write it in the Bible. He did write it in the Bible when his son stood still for almost a day. He did write it in the Bible when he backed it up 10 degrees. Amen? Yeah. Amen. You said, that's stupid. Yeah, but I thought it. And he's able to do above what I think. There's some things he can't, that he can do that I ain't even thought of. I'm trying to tell y'all, did I tell you the second point? I didn't tell you the point. It's not good grammar. Number one, get your eyes on him. Number two, know who him is. You need to remember the one you're praying to. He's able to do anything he wants to. Anything. He's sovereign. Now, when I say sovereign, I don't mean like the hyper-Calvinists. Because their God's not sovereign. He can only save elect people. My God can save anybody he wants to.
Amen.
Amen. He's not bound but in your little theological box. Amen. That one woman came to him and he says, I can't give the bread to the children, to the dogs. And you're in the wrong dispensation, lady. You have to come back later. She said, yeah, but the dogs get the crumbs fall from the... He looked one way, he looked the other. Nobody's looking. He went from one dispensation to the other. Amen. He can do anything he wants to. He's God. That's what he does. Amen. Get your eyes on him. Know who him is. Number three, I want you to read this. And I'm anxious to find it in my Bible because I can't find anything in here. Amen. Verse 10. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of that possession which thou hast given us to inherit. O God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no power, might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. He, in essence, blamed God for this mess. He said, God, when we left Egypt, we ran into these three small tribes and we asked them permission to go through their land and they said no. There was another bunch of tribes that said no and God said, destroy them. They ran into these three tribes and God said, go around them. Let them go. He said, God, this is your mess. Now, let me say this. If you're going to pray like that, you better have Bible for it. But I read that in the Bible. That's true. What he prayed was true. That's right. So God said, no, don't destroy them. Go around them. Amen. When they let them go, listen, they could have just wiped them off the map. But in this particular situation, God's going to get the glory because they don't have any power against this bunch. Amen. So, number three, what to do when you don't know what to do. Do y'all remember what the message is? I'm telling you what to do when you don't know what to do. Get your eyes on him. Are y'all listening over here? I hardly look in the sides. Amen. These are big looking guys over here. Amen. I like it. Amen. Don't let them get me. You got my back. Amen. But get your eyes on him. Girls. You're okay. Get your eyes on him. Know who him is. See things the way God sees them. See things the way God sees them. What Jehoshaphat prayed was the way it was. This was not their battle. God is the one that did this. It was God's battle, not theirs. And you'll find out later the prophet came and he told him, said, God said he's got it. It's his fight. It's his battle, not yours. He's got it. So see things the way God sees them. If you can imagine your children having any kind of need at all, any distress at all, and it's in your power to help them, you would help them. Especially if you had everything at your fingertips. You had all power. And God's got all power. So I'm just saying, he said, art not thou our God? Amen. See things the way God sees them. We're his kids. He's not going to let us down. Amen. I suppose a friend of mine, he's in heaven. A lot of friends of mine are in heaven now. But dirty dogs. But Brother Earl Hughes, he was an old mountain preacher. Hitchhiked to his meetings for years. Didn't have a car. Matter of fact, he said the first time he's ever late to a meeting was the first time he had his own car. But he was hitchhiking from McCaseville, Georgia to Florida. And it was before the interstates. And it was highway, I don't know if it's 27. I don't know what highway it was going down through there. But he said, I was hitchhiking. He said, it was hot. He said, this brand new Buick pulled up. He said, I thought it was kind of strange because it was hot and the windows were up in that car. He said, so I opened the back door and put my suit coat and my guitar in the back seat. He said, I jumped in the front seat and he said, there was cold air coming out these holes in that car. He's just staring at me. He never felt air conditioning before. Years ago, there wasn't air conditioning. Years ago, there wasn't. God didn't create air conditioning. We made it later on. Amen. Yeah. Well, he made it, but it's in wintertime. Amen. God does a big one. Amen. But anyway, but he said cold air coming out these holes. He said, I just got to praising God. He said, I just got bragging on Jesus. And after a while, he said, the guy got mad, found out he's a Jew. He said, what do you got to thank Jesus about? He said, all you got is that old beat up guitar and that suit coat in the back seat. He said, well, it's according to how you look at it. He said, the way I look at it, the Lord just gave me a brand new Buick and a chauffeur to drive it. And it's got cold air coming out the holes. Amen. He said, we pulled into a gas station and the guy said, fill it up. Back in the old days, they had service stations. And when you pull into a service station, a guy will come out and actually pump your gas. And he'd wipe your windshields and check your oil and check your tires. And amen. And so I'm just trying to help you there. Amen. But anyway, he said, and then after he filled it up, he said, the guy gave him a $5 bill and he gave him some change. Uh-oh. Back in the old days, gas was 25 cents a gallon. Amen. Amen. $5 bill, you can fill your tank up. Amen. Anyway. This guy's getting an education. Amen. He said, the guy was going to the same town I was going to in Florida. Said he took me the whole way. Now let me ask you something. What was reality? God gave him a brand new Buick and a chauffeur to drive it. Did all the driving, paid for the insurance, paid for the gas. Amen. Amen. That was reality. Listen, we're all going to make it. Amen. I don't care what you're going through, but you're going through it. One of my favorite, it's not a verse, but it's part of a verse in the Bible, but it's in there a few times. It came to pass. Woo! They pass, they do, they pass, you know. And some of you right now, but there's something that's happened in your life right now, and you're thinking, boy, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him why that happened. You know what? When you get to heaven, you're not going to care. Brother Hughes used to say this. He used to say, nothing can happen to you down here that one trip over yonder won't take care of. I used to sing a song years ago. Earth has no sorrows that heaven can't heal. Amen. See things the way God sees them. Amen. So the prophet comes and he tells them basically that God's got this thing. I'll read it to you. Verse 14. Then upon Jahaziel, boy, what names? Who named the kids that? Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. He said, hearken, ye all Judah, and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. God took responsibility. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come by the cliff of Ziz. You shall find them by the end of the brook where, before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still. See the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. So they get the promise from God that everything's going to be all right. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Again, if you can see it, I mean, they've got their eyes on him. The prophet comes, he gives the promise. So King Jehoshaphat falls before the Lord and begins to worship. And the Bible says all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. I'm going to stay down here just a little bit until y'all get nervous. We don't do a lot of this in church, but the sign says worship hour 11 o'clock. We don't major on worship.
the king began to worship God. Now listen, worship.
Worship, in a nutshell, is magnifying the Lord. Worship is telling God what you think about Him, bragging on Him, lifting Him up. Worship can be quiet because God's not hard of hearing. Worship can be not even oral, just in your mind, in your heart, just communing with God, just telling Him how good He is. I'm not good with words, but David is. So sometimes I'll borrow one of the Psalms where he's bragging on God, and I'll just read it to God and sign my name to it. God seems to appreciate it. Worship. I only preach, well, I would preach in the Catholic Church if they'd let me, but mainly I only preach in independent, fundamental, King James, Rodney Dividen, just all the listening. That's who I preach to. But since that's all I preach to, I like to rattle their chains. So I like to say two words, just get everybody shook up real good. Praise and worship. Amen. Praise and worship. It's all through the Bible. All through the Bible. Now, our bunch, as far as I can tell, Brother Sal, there's only like maybe three times we could worship if we knew what was going on. One is a song service. The song service is not what gets you from the announcements to the offering. Song service is an opportunity to worship God.
Amen.
Now, the way you can tell, and I could tell this morning and tonight by your song leading that y'all probably know some of this stuff, but many don't. But half of the songs in your songbook are addressed to Him. My Jesus, I love Thee. You're talking to Him. I surrender all to Thee. My blessings. You're talking to Him. Those are worship songs. So think about it. When you sing it, you're not singing it to fill space between the offerings and announcement. And you're not singing it to each other. You're singing it to Him.
Amen.
Amen. It's worship. So take advantage of it. Another opportunity we have to worship is the offering. I think we don't take advantage of the opportunity like we ought to. And as preachers, sometimes here comes the hard part of the service. Hard part, a time to worship, that's the hard part. It's time to worship. Those wise men, they came, we followed a star, that we might worship Him. How'd they do it? Gold, myrrh, and frankincense. It was an offering that they brought. Worship. So when you put that in the offering plate, you're saying you're worth this. Worth, worthy, worship, they're all the same root word. You're worth this. This is for you. It's time to worship. And the invitation. The invitation. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. When you place yourself on this altar and you say, God, this is for you. It's me. For you. Worship. We need to worship. Matter of fact, Jesus in John chapter 4, talking to the woman at the well, he said, God seeketh such to worship Him. I think it's a shame God has to go around looking for somebody to worship Him. Sports figures don't. Singers don't. Hollywood actors and actresses don't. They don't have to look for anybody to worship them. People flock and worship them. But God has to look for somebody to worship Him. We need to worship. Y'all do know that when we get to heaven, that's all we're going to be doing? If worshiping bores you or scares you, you're going to be bored and scared for eternity. Amen. Worship. They worshiped. Let's keep reading. Verse 19. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Praising. Worship can be quiet because God's not hard of hearing. Praise is loud because praise is you telling everybody else what you think about him.
Yes.
Now, some of y'all are in shock right now. Now, I think the guy in the PA made it even shockier. Amen. Those 10 lepers were cleansed. One came back. Now, this is not King Buddy version. This is what it said. Came back with a loud voice, glorified God. Jesus was not hard of hearing. He didn't say that loud so Jesus could hear him. He said it loud where everybody else could tell what he thought about Jesus and knew what he thought about Jesus. He deserves our praise. Amen. He's worthy of our praise. The Bible says praise is comely. Down in Tennessee, we don't use that word, so I had to look it up. Comely means appropriate. In order, at all times. It's always a good time to praise the Lord. Now, and I know you have your reasons why you don't do it. Well, it's just not my personality. And that's actually what the Bible says. Praise ye the Lord, unless that's not your personality.
Right.
Well, I don't think you should do it unless you feel it. And that's what the Bible says. Praise ye the Lord if you feel it. Are y'all with me here?
Oh, yeah.
Can I tell y'all why I praise the Lord? Because he told me to a lot of times in the Bible. I don't do it out of... It's not emotionalism. It's obedience. When I'm praising the Lord, most of the times my socks ain't going up and down my legs. I don't have the warm fuzzies, you know. Most of the time, when I praise the Lord, most of the time, half the time, it's embarrassing. Flesh can't stand it. Y'all getting quiet. Hey, man, that's good. You're thinking. I'll tell you how God taught me about praise. When I first moved to Ohio in 1973, I had a clock radio, got up to a clock radio. A clock radio is this thing. But it's a transistor. It came on instantly. It wasn't tubes like... had these tubes. I had to warm up first, but that's in the old days. Amen. Anyway. But anyway, I had to get up the clock radio. And Leroy Jenkins from Delaware, Ohio was on. Now, he was a whack job excellence. He was off on every doctrine in the Bible. But he was very entertaining. And so I'd listen to him. You know, I'm getting up, Leroy Jenkins is just going on, you know. And he's healing people's eyeballs and growing legs and growing appendages, you know. He was amazing. On the radio, he could do everything, amen. And so he's doing all this stuff. But then he would get to this one point where something miraculous would happen. And he said, let's give Jesus a big hand. Number one, they were clapping for Leroy. They weren't clapping for Jesus. And that really bothered me. And number two, it just sounded cheap.
Yeah.
Clapping for the Lord. Just to give Jesus a big hand. And it just grieved me. And so I turned the radio off. I couldn't stand it. It just made me feel so bad. Years later, I'm at Sammy Allen's camp meeting down in Resaca, Georgia. People got saved. People got right with the Lord. People excited about the Lord. Brother Sammy Allen up there, I mean, independent of fundamentalists of fundamentalists, he said, let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise. I'm sitting on the second row. There's 1,000 people there. I'm wanting out. I was grieved. I mean, that same feeling went through me. I was grieved. And then he made me mad. Psalm 47:1 says, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph." Now, that made me mad. I know what I believe, and don't bring the Bible into it. So while they're clapping, I'm a Bible believer. That don't mean I believe the King James Bible. That just means I believe the Bible.
Right.
And it happens to be the King James. Amen. So while they're clapping, I'm looking up Psalm 47:1. I got my Bible balanced on the front pew, and I'm reading it, and there it is. "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people." And I knew in the Hebrew, "all men all."
That's right.
Man, I'm trying to find a loophole why I don't have to do it, because I'm grieved about it. And now God even gets in on it. "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people." So they're all clapping, and I'm looking at that verse, and I can't get out of it. That's what it says. And so I started this little anemic clap, and I was asking God for forgiveness if it was wrong.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, I was grieved about it, but that's what it said in the Bible, and I'm clapping, and I'm asking God for forgiveness if it's wrong. I said, "God, if it's wrong, please, I'm sorry." And you know, it's, but you wrote it there, and there it is, and I kept saying, "But you wrote it." And, You wrote it. You did write it. And I started getting kind of bold about my clapping. Well, as long as they told me to tell you that, they've been clapping. So they're getting done.
Yeah.
And I'm just getting started.
Right.
Yeah, so I got this clap solo. Man, money. Amen. I got this clap solo going on. Amen. And then I really, Brother Sal, I shouldn't have read it. I kept reading it, just encourage myself. That's what it says. But then I read the rest of it. It says, "Shout unto God with a voice of triumph." I said, "Oh, no, God, not that too. No." He said, "That's what it says." I said, "Woo! Glory to God! Woo! Hallelujah!" And I've been doing it ever since. Sometimes I feel like it. Most of the times I don't. But he deserves it all the time.
Amen. Yeah.
He's worthy of it whether we feel like it or not.
Yeah, that's right.
Praise is humbling.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You Baptist, amen. I just... And see, Brother Sal, I'm trying to cover all the loopholes because everybody has their excuse why they don't do it. Here's one. Oh, you people down south, oh, that's why, not the church I was raised in. That ain't the way we do it down south. Church I was raised in, I remember three noises the whole time I was a member of that church. The first time we moved in a new building, the fire extinguisher fell off the wall during a message. I remember that. I remember old man Johnson, he said on the fourth row, he was our janitor. One Sunday night, his elbow slipped off his knee and out in the aisle he came, and he was asleep. Amen. First holy roller we had in our church. Amen. Brother Johnson. Amen. Amen. We did have this one old man. We called him old man Lehman. He sat on the second row. Of course, ours were straight. Amen. But he sat on the second row. All of us teenagers were in the back, so we'd see him. Every once in a while, the preacher would say something good about Jesus. And old man Lehman would stand up. He had the biggest hands I've ever seen. He stick his hands up in the air. Woo! 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 And his wife, now she didn't stand up or anything, but she had a bun, you know, and that bun was... He was wobbling around. She was crying and having a good time. Amen. Amen. So I'm just saying, our church wasn't, except for old man Lehman, our church wasn't a shouting church. That's just not the way we did it there. I don't do it because I'm from the South. I do it to be obedient. Amen. Can you imagine if when they're marching around the walls of Jericho seven times, on the seventh day, they march around it seven times, and then Joshua said, "All right, now everybody shout." And if it's all Baptist, Well, I wasn't raised that way. Well, I think you ought to feel it before you do it. I don't think you should be a hypocrite. If you don't feel it, you shouldn't do it. That's sin. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Shout.
Amen. That's right.
And they all started shouting. And the walls came down. Amen. Here, they're shouting before the battle even takes place. They're shouting. So let me help you with this. Sometimes you have to shout on credit.
Right. I like that. That's good.
Sometimes you have to shout on credit. Amen.
Thank God.
Now, let me ask you something. After the wall started coming down, you think some of you might have been shouting then? Yeah. It's a good thing that, those other people shouted before. Or you wouldn't have seen the walls coming down. Amen. Amen. Do y'all remember what this message is about? What to do when you don't know what to do. Praise God. Worship God. I'm away from my Bible. The next couple of verses, he appoints singers to sing unto the Lord and sing about the beauty of his holiness. And the Bible says, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against that enemy and they were defeated. They start singing. And again, we've already talked about it, but singing is important. I think your pastor agrees with that. Some pastors don't. That's why I like to rub their noses in it. Amen. They're the important part, you know, and the singing is just... No. I've been in some services where God was in the singing and he wasn't in the preaching. Has this been broadcast? I hate that. I'll say it anyway. I'll protect the innocent. Well, he's not innocent. He's guilty. But anyway, I said, just one church somewhere in the world. And I knew the former pastor who was very pleased with himself. Y'all okay with that one? Very pleased and very pleased with his own preaching. So I'm in that church. He's not there anymore. And the piano player is playing a congregational singing 150 miles an hour. I mean, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I say the original. I mean, and I had this horrible thought. You shouldn't judge people, preacher. You shouldn't judge people. But I had this horrible thought in my mind. I said, no, that can't be right. No. But I asked her. I said, why do you play so fast? Well, our former pastor wanted to hurry up and get to the message, you know, so we... And that's what I thought. That's the very thing I thought. God likes singing.
Well, praise the Lord.
A man after God's own heart was a singer. God likes singing. God likes your singing. Okay. We don't like your singing. God likes your singing. The Bible calls it the sacrifice of praise. Amen. And it is a sacrifice for us. But you know who I like to get around, brother? I don't know why I'm talking to you about this, but I like to get around someone that can't sing. I can pick them.
They'll make a joyful noise.
You know what? And I love to hang around you and hear you doing it.
Amen.
And God's loving it. The Bible does say, with the sacrifice of praise, God is well pleased. God is well pleased. Well, I'll give you this and I'll close. God gives a victory. And you know what happened after he gave the victory? They worshiped. And they praised. And they sung some more.
Amen.
They probably felt it the second time. Might not have felt it the first time, but they felt it the second time. Can I say, whatever you're going through right now, get your eyes on Him. Know who He is. He's our God. He cares. See things the way God sees them. You're His kids. You're His kids. He's going to take care of you. Worship. Praise. Sing. Amen. And God will... Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, sure do love you. A lot of us, Lord, including myself, we need to repent of robbing you of praise and worship that you deserve. And some of us had good reasons, we thought. Some of us were taught that way. We're trained that way. Lord, I remember I was trained that in the old days they used to shout, but we weren't allowed to. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us now. And Lord, I'm not talking about starting a circus and just people jumping around and doing all kinds of stuff. But I never saw it hurt for somebody to raise up their hand and give glory to God. There might be some people here tonight hurting. And I pray right now. Maybe they hadn't done it yet, but right now, they would look up and get their eyes on you. And Lord, they would know who you are. You're not, you hadn't lost control. You're as powerful as you ever were. And you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So we'd see things the way you see them. We'd see that you're our God. You're our Father. You do care. And you've got it. And Lord, that being true, we're just going to worship and praise and sing. Enjoy you. Enjoy the victory even before it happens. God, do a work tonight in our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.